Broadcasted live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
A very good evening to you. My word, what a day, what an evening, what a time that we're living in. I have been watching what's happening in Israel as we speak. And if you have a television where you can grab the news right now, it would be absolutely our pleasure if you can just maybe listen to a conversation I've just had literally a minute ago with a professor in Jerusalem as we speak, as missiles are going into Jerusalem, in Tel Aviv, into Israel. Obviously, coming from Iran, it is an incredible, incredible sight. It is a scary moment in our history as we watch all of these come through live. I've had a conversation with Director of Israel a Committee Against House Demolitions. We've had him on the show before, Professor Jeff Halper, who spoke to me a while ago. And I've got to tell you, getting him on the line was quite something. The lines, first of all, seem to be down because of clearly what's happening right now. And we tried every possible way to communicate, and eventually and finally we were able to get that interview. I will be playing that interview in a short while, but I also want to tell you that I'll be having our Imbizo today with the MEC of Gauteng's health. So we are going to be speaking about all things health in Gauteng. You are very, very welcome to give us a call on 086 000 00959. You can also send those voice notes on 063 688 0959. She's in studio with us. She's got plenty of time for us. So we are going to be speaking about the state of our health in Gauteng. So she is here with us. MEC Nomantu Nkomo Raluhuku is going to be gracing us with her presence. She's actually already in the building, so looking forward to that. And really exciting, back by popular demand, our relationship feature is back. That's going to be happening just after 9 o'clock. 4 minutes after eight, let's just take us now straight to Jerusalem, to my conversation with Professor Jeff Halper. Well, Director of Israel Committee Against House Demolitions, Professor Jeff Halper, is on the line with us from Jerusalem. I really appreciate you making time for us, Jeff. Just maybe give us a quick sense of where exactly in Israel are you?
I'm in Jerusalem.
You're in Jerusalem. And we've been watching live pictures of missiles from Iran into Tel Aviv, into Israel. A sense of what the mood is like on the ground, please.
Well, we sort of got a warning from that, you know, Iran was planning to attack Israel with missiles. Hmm. So it wasn't a complete surprise, but all of a sudden, you know, the sky filled with all kinds of flares. It was basically what we were seeing in Jerusalem, because it's interesting. The last time Iran attacked military targets, this time the entire country was targeted. I know there was a hit in Tel Aviv, I think.
Yes.
Here in Jerusalem, we saw a lot of the interceptors go up, the intercept missiles, but I don't think there were any missiles fell on Jerusalem, as far as I know.
Well, we also know that even as you intercept some of these missiles, there will be shrapnel. And, you know too well that it's also dangerous to have shrapnel all over flying around. So it's quite a dangerous situation, I take.
No, it is. I mean, right now, at this moment, it's quiet. Mm. So I don't know if it was one huge, just Iran making a statement, or whether this is going to continue. Israel's going to retaliate, so I think this is going to escalate. So we'll see where it all goes. Right now, it's very quiet.
So let's take it back a little bit, because this escalation, as you said, Iran had warned that this was going to happen. We saw Israel go into Lebanon a few days ago, killing a Hezbollah leader as well. So this whole thing, in your mind, I'm assuming, you know, this is what Netanyahu was always waiting to see. He was pushing for these boundaries to get to this point.
That's right, exactly. This is really the culmination or the fulfillment of Zionism, of the Zionist project of the last 130 years. You know, Zionism began with the process, with the program of Judaizing Palestine. So, you know, in 1967, it took over, it conquered all of Palestine. And since then, it's been, displacing Palestinians, you know, shoving them into little areas A and B in Gaza and trying to create Bantustans, creating an apartheid regime. And basically with Gaza, and the West Bank, it feels it's ended Palestinian resistance. Basically, the Palestinians are gone from the political equation. The big thing now, and this is what the United States and Saudi Arabia have promised Israel, that is that we're moving towards normalization. And that normalization is the end for Israel. In other words, it legitimizes the apartheid regime, both in the Middle East and internationally. And it gives Israel, a formal standing as an apartheid state in the Middle East. So that's how settler colonialism ends. It doesn't end in conquest. It ends when the settler colony becomes normal. Now, when people simply say Israel, it's clear that the whole world means Israel between the Mediterranean and the Jordan River. And that's agreed upon by the Sunni Muslim states. That's agreed upon by the international community. And it's over. Now, there's one step beyond normalization in a sense. And that is that, Saudi Arabia and the Emirates and a lot of the Sunni world, besides Syria in a way, is at war with the Shiites, is at war with Iran in particular, and its Shiite proxies. Mm. And so this other level that we're seeing now, where it's escalating to Hezbollah, it's escalating to Iran, has really nothing to do with the Palestinians. What it has to do with is Israel basically eliminating the main enemies, or let's say the main competitors of the Sunnis, which is hitting the heart of the Shiite world, which is Iran. Mm. And in that way, by doing that kind of a favor to Saudi Arabia, and the pro-Western Sunnis, it's really cementing this normalization agreement, because it isn't only eliminating the Palestinians as an obstacle to normalization, but it's also really eliminating the Shiites as an obstacle to normalization, and saying to the Arab world, all right, we're your partners now. Normalize with us. We're part of your region. And not only that, but we're the only ones that can protect you. And we have protected you. And now we're in a new situation in terms of Iran. So on all those levels, I think, Israel feels that this is the end. This is the culmination of the Zionist project. And we're almost home free.
Mm. So what is Iran's end game here? Because one got the sense that they really didn't want to be dragged into this, even as they were provoked to get into this. And as you said, the warnings were there. And in fact, before the missiles were thrown in, intelligence had already leaked. Whether it's leaked or whether it was intentional, yeah, we can always argue about that. But the point here is that one always gets the sense that Iran was holding back. And I'm not even sure, to what extent this attack is going to achieve anything. Your sense of that?
Well, that's true. I mean, I really don't see the point of the Iranian attack. I mean, in a sense, look, everything that Iran's been doing, whether it's with Hezbollah or even with the Houthis or with Hamas, arming Hamas and so on, has very little to do with the Palestinians. It's using the Palestinians, and certainly it's using Hezbollah as kind of protectors, a kind of perimeter that protects Iran itself. I mean, Iran is trying to spread, its Sunni influence, and it's trying to isolate Israel. But more than that, it's trying to sort of, increase its influence in the entire region. So really, Israel is not at the center of its interests. And Israel's going to hit Iran very hard now. And Israel can really cripple Iran in terms of its oil and so on. So I don't really understand why Iran attacked Israel, to tell you the truth. It just doesn't make any sense to me. But in fact, that's what they did.
I mean, to your point, the U.S. has already released a statement saying that they're going to be backing Israel on this one. You've already seen Israel saying that, Iran is going to pay deeply for this. So obviously, we're waiting for a big escalation from Israel's side.
But that's right. And what you see through this whole thing is that Israel is leading the charge. Mm. The United States has nothing to say. The United States said, don't go into Gaza. Mm. The United States said, don't go into Rafah. The United States said don't attack Hezbollah. The United States said don't attack Iran. You know, Israel just ignores the United States.
Yep.
The United States has no policy. It has an army, and that's about all it has. So it gets pulled along with whatever's going on. And since Israel has bipartisan support in Congress, you know, it doesn't need Biden. It doesn't need the president. It can do whatever it wants to do, and it knows that the Republicans and no less the Democrats are going to fund it, support it, and give it all the weapons it wants. So it's really an independent actor, and that's why I'm saying the United States really has very little to do with it. You can't look at this as Israel as a client of the United States doing the American dirty work. In fact, the United States is supporting Israel in doing the dirty work of normalizing its settler colonial project and then normalizing, in a sense, or pushing back on the Sunni influence. Of the Shiite influence against the Sunnis in the entire region, because Israel's security, Israel's ability to finish its settler colonial project is dependent on making peace with the Arab world around, and the fact that it eliminates Iran as a major threat to the Sunni world certainly gives it a tremendous push in terms of acceptance by the Sunni world.
What do you?
But the United States has little to do with it.
Yeah. What do you think domestically this will mean for Iran? I mean, we saw Netanyahu address the Iranian people just a few days ago. You know, speaking to them almost, so to speak, and what was quite interesting. But of course, we know that domestically there are challenges in Iran. It's not easy for the people of Iran. Do you think this is going to pull them together as a nation, or do you think this is going to lead to more chaos?
It's hard to know. I'm not really an Iran expert. I mean, Israel spoke to the Iranian people. Netanyahu spoke to the Lebanese people. Mm. I mean, this is classical colonialism, where the white colonial power tells the native population what's good for them. And here, we're going to take care of it, and we'll make it better for you, so just rely on us. And, I mean, it's almost like going back 100 years to classical colonial days. And I think Israel certainly has an interest in destabilizing Iran. Iran's economy is terrible. Mm. You know, we have all the unrest over the whole Ayatollah system that they have there and so on. So I think this is going to destabilize Iran. And I think that's the point, to make Iran so... not just weak militarily, I don't know if that's going to happen, but make it simply unstable economically that it's not going to be able to push all the programs. Already there were protests in Iran over the monies that the Iranian government were giving to Hezbollah. And the people in Iran were beginning to say, hey, wait a minute, what about us? Mm. You know, so I think it's going to change Iran's priorities. I have a feeling Iran might pull back to some degree. I don't know how much this is going to hurt the Houthis, too, because they're also being attacked. And so, destroying this perimeter or this ring of fire, as Iran calls it, around Israel, and then weakening Iran itself, certainly economically, maybe crippling it in terms of the oil imports and exports and so on, I think is going to create a new situation. And that new situation is pro-American, pro-Sunni, and pro-Israel.
Let me just go back to Lebanon for a bit. We are seeing visuals of people in Beirut actually celebrating, out in the streets celebrating. Of course, we know that Israel had already gone with ground forces into Lebanon. But, in 82, the war was meant to be for 72 hours, and it lasted for 18 years, Israel being in there. So what do you think is going to happen in Lebanon with regards to Israel there?
Well, again, it's not that the Lebanese love Israel, I think, but I think, the Hezbollah, the Shiites in Lebanon began to emerge as a military and political force in Lebanon after the 1982 war. And so I think that there's a lot of resentment against Hezbollah. So Israel could actually have, like I said, it could have support certainly among the Christians in Lebanon, but also among the Sunni Muslims, probably among the Druze as well. You know, and then of course it feeds into the opposition elements in Iran, which is which is a lot. So in other words, this isn't monolithic. You know, like homogeneous countries one against the other. Every country has its range of different interests and different groups. And I think this is gonna really kind of realign all kinds of forces in the Middle East. And let's see, it could really change the Shiite world because, it could bring back, the more secular elements that were more prominent during the Shah's regime. I don't know how this is all gonna pan out, but it's certainly creating a major earthquake in this area.
So as I watch, I'm pretty nervous, even though I'm not in Jerusalem, I'm not in Tel Aviv, I'm not in Israel, but I get pretty nervous. We knew that for some population members in Israel, they were approving of what's happening. And so when a moment like this happens, where you are seeing missiles coming in, do you think it changes somehow the perception of whether this is a good thing or not? Do you think there is a different kind of reality in how you make sense of what's happening as a member? Not you, because I think you are an exception to the rule. But do you think for the people of Israel, there is a different kind of a reality in how they view what's happening with Israel and neighboring countries?
I think the vision of Israel and the vision of a lot of the Sunni countries like Saudi Arabia and the Arab and the Emirates and the Egypt and so on, Morocco even, is a Middle East without Palestinians. Mm-hmm. In other words, if you remove the Palestinians from the equation, as Israel believes it has politically, then it really does realign. And then what's the problem with Israel? Israel is a state that is, economically prosperous. It gives a lot of military, support to the Sunni governments. It also gives all kinds of surveillance and repression technology support to these autocratic governments that exist in the Arab world. It keeps them in power as well. So if you take the Palestinians out of the equation, and they don't mean very much for the Arab governments, the Palestinians, they mean much more for the people, not for the governments. Israel is, in fact, an ally. And then if you put in the oppositional elements in Iran as well, if Israel can help overthrow that regime and bring back something else, then that's that they see that as a good thing. So in other words, what's happening now could be seen as a realignment. I don't know how positive it is because you still have all these repressive governments, but as something that the Arab world and maybe the more moderate Shiite world would welcome. If you take the Palestinians out of the equation, if, like me, the Palestinians are at the center of what you're looking at, and we're looking at genocide, we're looking at their erasures of people, then what's happening today all around is a tragedy, is really a terrible, terrible thing that's happening in that Israeli success, and it's a zero-sum game. The success of Zionism means the destruction of the Palestinians. Genocide is built into Zionism. And we're right at the point of seeing that maybe with the help of the Arab governments, not the Arab peoples in any way, but these autocratic governments, maybe we're seeing, in a way, an elimination of the Palestinian people. And that would create a Palestinianless Middle East, and that would have a different dynamic than a Middle East that's trying to deal with justice for Palestinians.
So in a way, we can say Netanyahu's plan has, come to fruition. He's managed to move the needle somewhat within Israel to more right. He's managed to stay in power. The allegations of corruption and all of those things sort of are no longer at the center of politics in Israel. And so he lives another day.
That's right. That's right. I mean, you could really say that Netanyahu's prevailed in many ways. I mean, I'm still very engaged with Palestinians, and I think Palestinians have the support of the peoples of the world and the support of the Arab of the Arab peoples as well. So they still have leverage. I don't think we have to take this as, in a way, it's a defeat in a battle, but it's not a defeat in the war.
Mm.
And I think that if we're working very hard with the Palestinians, if we can organize and mobilize the tremendous support they have abroad, I think the Palestinian can come back into the picture and become again the center of the issue. We can't allow this to be closed down and normalized and finalized at the cost, at the expense of the Palestinians. So that becomes our central task today.
In a way, I think all of us are preoccupied, as you said, with the governments and how the governments are relating to one another. But we do forget that the people who live through these traumas can rise anywhere in the world at any time. And it may not be, you know, a planned attack. But the world is more dangerous after this, is it not?
Well, it's more dangerous, but it's also a wake-up call for us, the people. That we have to become more involved. I think people have been coming out for Palestinians. Look, the whole world went out in the anti-apartheid struggle for you. You know, so there is power in civil society. If it's led by the oppressed peoples, it was led by the ANC, your struggle. There is no PLO today, and that's a real problem. Mm. There isn't really a Palestinian leadership. But once that comes in, and we're working on trying to do that, then I think it's not a lost cause for the Palestinians in any way. But we really have our work to do. And right now, Netanyahu does have the upper hand.
Sure. Really, really appreciate your time. Stay safe, and we will speak again soon. Hopefully very soon. Professor Jeff Halper is a director.
Thank you.
He's a director at Israeli Committee Against House Demolitions in Israel. Thanks so much for staying with us. I see many of you want to comment on that story. Let me quickly go to Sunny Boy in Benoni. Sunny Boy, good evening and welcome to you. Thanks so much for calling this evening. Hi.
Good evening. Good evening, Emil and then the guest there. Actually, I wanted to know the site of the UN, United Nations, on this. And I wanted to know the NATO countries on this, because if I just want to divert a little bit between Russia and Belarus and the Ukraine, then you see other countries are against what is Russia doing. I want to see what is happening now. Well, Israel, because Israel is now, they are looking for war. But I want to know what's the take of your guest there regarding the United Nations and some other Arab countries, actually, or what?
Sunny Boy, I tell you what, we couldn't hold that line. The lines are intercepted, so we can't get through a proper line. So we'll get him back sometime this week and we'll continue that conversation. But as you can see, bombing is happening at the moment, so lines are interrupted. So we'll get him on a better line. But I appreciate you calling and I appreciate your question.
Okay.
Sunny Boy in Benoni.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.